Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy, and we begin the program with a look at the latest news. The embattled Czech Prime Minister, Stanislav Gross, will face a parliamentary vote of no confidence on Friday. The announcement comes as the leadership of the Christian Democratic Party, a junior partner in Mr. Gross's ruling coalition, said on Wednesday it would leave the government if he continues as premier. Separately, the head of the opposition Communist Party, Miroslav Grebeniček, who earlier this week said he would urge his colleagues to support the no-confidence motion, said after a two-hour meeting on Wednesday with Mr. Gross that his deputies might not vote against him after all. Mr. Grebeniček said the policies of the center-right Civic Democrats, the main opposition party that had called for the vote, were of more of a concern to the communists than were the past mistakes of the current government. Staying with politics, the lower house of parliament approved a law on Wednesday that would dismantle the Czech Republic's privatization agency by the end of this year. If approved by the Senate and ratified by President Václav Klaus, the law would have the finance ministry take over the government's remaining privatization agenda as of 2006. The National Property Fund has been holding stakes in state-owned companies on behalf of the government since its creation in 1991. The fund also has been organizing privatization tenders and is now working on the sale of the state's majority stake in Český Telecom, the dominant fixed-line operator. In related news, the cabinet is expected to decide on how to continue with the privatization of Český Telecom, that is, by tender or through a flotation of shares on the bourse, following the results of the no-confidence vote in Prime Minister Stanislav Gross on Friday. The Czech and Polish central banks are expected to follow on Hungary's move on Tuesday to cut interest rates by half a percentage point to 7.75%. Currencies in the Central European region have appreciated sharply against the euro over the past year, but have fallen back more recently over forecasts that growth in the region is slowing. The Czech central bank already cut rates in January, lowering the two-week repo rate by a quarter of a percentage point to 2.25%. But with a new, more pro-business central bank board now in place, analysts expect another quarter percentage point on Thursday. With concerns over the impact of a strong Czech crown on the domestic industry outweighing the board's concerns over inflationary pressure. A reactor at the Temelín nuclear power plant in the southern part of the Czech Republic was shut down on Wednesday due to a fault in a power turbine and is expected to remain offline for about 2 weeks. A reactor was last shut down at the plant, which lies about 50 kilometers from the Austrian border, on Sunday evening, but was restarted on Monday morning. Czech officials said the most recent fault at Temelín was not located in a part of the plant close to nuclear fuel, and said that the second reactor at Temelín was functioning normally. In other news, the lower house of parliament has passed an amendment to the law on road transport, introducing stricter conditions on taxi drivers, including an officially sealed taxi meter that issues printed receipts and an internal memory chip storing the previous month's fare data. The amendment was drafted by the Prague City Hall, which is attempting to crack down on the overcharging of passengers, in particular on tourists. As to the weather, in the coming days we can expect cloudy skies but little or no rain, with daytime highs remaining in the low teens. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's all the news for now.
This is Radio Prague with me, Peter Smith. Coming up, the row over the personal finances of the Czech Prime Minister rumbles on as the coalition government's majority crumbles. More in a moment. Also, the fans of a famous Prague football club are refusing to let their team go under easily.
We are still interested to save the club, save the continuity of the club, and just try it, because the fans deserve it.
And there'll also be the very first edition of Radio Prague's new cultural feature, Panorama. To kick things off, Brian Kennedy is looking for the new Czech-Slovak beauty queen in the USA. The Czech coalition government lost its parliamentary majority on Wednesday after one of the coalition parties, the Christian Democrats, walked out in the wake of a row over the Prime Minister's private finances. Their departure leaves the government of Social Democrats and the Freedom Union with just 80 seats in the 200-seat lower house. Friday's vote of no confidence, initiated by the opposition's Civic Democrats, will thus put the future of the Gross government in the hands of the Communist Party. Daniela Lazareva has been onto this story. Daniela, does this mean that we could see the Communists back in a position of power with strong influence and decision-making?
Well, Peter, this is something that has repeatedly been ruled out by the Social Democrats in the past. Just 24 hours ago, Prime Minister Gross was saying that he would not accept any conditions from the Communists regarding ministerial posts or power sharing. But in spite of his defiance, he clearly wants to make a deal with the Communists, which would keep his government in office for another year. And although the Communists are playing hard to get, they too obviously are eager for political recognition and some degree of influence on Czech politics, albeit from behind the scenes. Having said that, there is a great deal of opposition to this scenario from the public, from the opposition Civic Democrats, from the president, and even within the coalition government itself. The Freedom Union is against it in principle, and even some Social Democrat ministers have threatened to resign if such a deal is made. So Mr. Gross is on very thin ice here, and it's actually ironic that he should now be courting the Communists, because it was his anti-communist rhetoric that won him re-election as party leader just a week ago. Some of his own party members are now accusing him of being on a power trip at the expense of his own party. So it's not actually clear how much opposition there is to this scenario and whether it actually stands a real chance.
Okay, so what if the government should fall tomorrow? What are the alternatives?
Well, in that case, there are two alternatives. The president could initiate talks on the formation of a new government, or parliament could vote on early elections. It seems that the first alternative is more probable, the more likely, because early elections would require a constitutional majority in parliament, and at least three parties are against elections or say they're against early elections. Those are the Social Democrats, the Communists and the Freedom Union.
OK, it's going to be one of those days again. When will we know the outcome of Friday's vote?
Well, Parliament convenes at 9 a.m. Central European time. There will presumably be some speeches and then the voting will take place. It will be public, with each deputy getting up and saying whether they are for or against the government. The opposition would need 101 votes to topple the Gross government. The entire session will be broadcast on national television here, and with any luck, we could know the result by midday Friday.
Daniela Lazareva, thank you very much. You're listening to Radio Prague. Prague's reputation as one of Europe's most beautiful cities has been growing over the last decade or so, ever since the city opened up to the world after the fall of communism. Every year, more and more tourists are coming to the Czech Republic to sample the wonders of the city of 100 spires. But there are those who claim building developments in the city aimed at catering for the growing number of tourists are destroying the city's character. Some people are so concerned about the situation that they held a public debate attended by the deputy mayor of the city to discuss what they call the disappearing soul of Prague. Radio Prague's Colleen O'Connor went along to the debate and brought back this report.
Duše není jenom centrum Prahy. Ať tam bydlí tolik procent lidí ještě, oni se jim nechce dolů mezi ty davy turistů, oni tam přežívají.
At a debate on architectural developments in Prague since the Velvet Revolution, an elderly woman vents her frustration at how she feels her city is being destroyed by tourism. It's a sentiment shared by many at what is often a heated debate on how the face of Prague has been rapidly altered by massive developments since the fall of communism. Many at the debate feel that their city is selling its soul to tourism and that places like the Malastrana district and the Old Town Square are losing their charm by becoming characterless Disneyland attractions. It's a view architect Jakub Ziegler can find some sympathy with.
Prague is stuck just now in uncontrolled development by the city, but it is just controlled by the tourism, and I think it's not enough, and it's necessary that the city of Prague should be more kind of demanding some clear visions, clear ideas, you know, where it should develop. I think this is the question mark. You know, it's not only about the 100 golden towers in the center and lot of tourists with the cameras, but also about, you know, the city should be a hot place for, you know, the normal life and so on, like Paris.
Many attending the debate were also unhappy at some modern glass and steel constructions such as the Mieselbeck building near Wenceslas Square and the Charles Square Centre, which they feel deface the beauty of the Czech capital. However, despite the controversy surrounding certain new buildings, Mr. Ziegler is guardedly optimistic about how Prague is developing. He feels that although the current situation is not without its problems, things are certainly better now compared with the stasis that the city endured under communism.
I would say it's not about the individual building so much. It's going better since 1989. I see the positive effect that developers are able to invest more money than they were able to invest, 10 years ago or 15 years. But it's still not as good as it was between the wars when Czech Republic was in a much higher economical and more successful country and so on. And so I think that positive development is going ahead. It's necessary to invest to Prague, enough adequate, efforts and adequate financial investments to be quality center and to be quality city.
Jakub Ziegler ending that report by Colleen O'Connor. Yes, Bohemka do Toho, or Come on Bohemians, sounds this ode to the Klokani, or Kangaroos, as Bohemians Football Club were nicknamed. Now I say were, because the historic Prague club went bankrupt early this year in what was a very sad development for Czech football. But Bohemians' loyal fans aren't giving up so easily. They've launched a campaign to try to revive the club. Ian Willoughby has more.
The club was founded in 1905 under the name AFK Vršovice, after the area of Prague where it was located. The name was changed to Bohemians after a famous 1927 tour of Australia, where they represented Czechoslovakia. The team were presented with two live kangaroos, which they donated to Prague Zoo. They adopted the animal as their logo and were soon nicknamed the Kangaroos, or Klokani. Later in its history, the club offered an alternative to football fans during the decades of communism, says Antonín Jelinek of the Bohemian Supporters Association.
During the communism, there was the only club which was, or two clubs that were like state or government clubs, which was Sparta and Dukla. Dukla, it was a military club. For people that wasn't happy with such situation, there were Bohemians, and because it was not connected to communism too much, and they also had the green shirts, so it wasn't showing the color of socialism.
Bohemians, with their cozy Dolíček stadium in Vršovice, only won the league once in 1983. That was 2 years after the departure of their greatest player, Antonín Panenka. But in recent years, things have been going steadily downhill for Bohemians. Antonín Jelinek explains where it all went wrong.
The club has been extremely badly managed for past 10 years. The former owner, Pavel Schwartz, was a really, really bad manager. Firstly, he used some his own money to put Bohemians in shape, but then he used the money from transfers to pay his own personal debts. He left the club with 20 million debt, overall debt.
But with Czech football engulfed by a corruption scandal, potential backers were shy of investing in a failing club. After a series of efforts to save Bohemians, the club finally went under at the beginning of the year. Insolvency was followed by expulsion from the second division. Now, though, Bohemka's fans are fighting back. Led by Antonín Jelinek and with the support of legendary player Antonín Panenka, they've launched a supporters' trust with the aim of collecting enough money to put the club back on its feet.
Everyone who want to help us to save the club, they can be a member of this co-op and can put their money in. This money will be used for saving Bohemians. If we raise enough money, we can make it in third league. If this will not happen, then the club will be relegated to the lowest division in Czech football pyramid. Even in this case, we are still interested to save the club, save the continuity of the club, and just try it, because the fans deserve it.
And I'm sure anybody with any interest in Czech football will be keeping their fingers crossed for Mr. Jelinek and the Bohemian supporters. If you'd like more information, go to www.bohemians.cz.
You're listening to Radio Prague, music of a different ilk now.
Kolejí, v klidu dolejí, ať jde si starý mladý svět.
Karel Plíhal, one of the country's most popular musicians and songwriters, has just released a new album and DVD to celebrate 25 years in the business. The double album, called Karel Plíhal in Olomouc, features live performances from a December concert in his Moravian hometown. The songs were selected by Plíhal himself. He says these songs have been closest to his heart in his musical career. Besides his most popular songs, it includes tracks that have never been released before and 40 short poems.
Tichá je voda, šedý svět. Lehnout si do trav, nemyslet. Tichá je voda, šedý svět.
Plíhal, who turns 47 this August, worked as a design engineer and stoker, but in the 1970s he decided to put his passion for music first and began appearing with several amateur bands before making his first solo appearance in 1983. He has released 9 albums to date. His music is appreciated by all age categories, as his melodic guitar compositions are accompanied by lyrics that are often a play on words or refer to fables, anecdotes, love songs and humorous situations. Karel Plíhal is the holder of 4 Porter Folk Music Awards, and he has also composed music for a number of plays, including the Czech versions of Cyrano de Bergerac and Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale. Karel Plíhal has helped to produce albums of artists like Petr Fiala, the Eben Brothers, and his close friend Jaroslav Nohavica, with whom he starred in the popular Czech movie The Year of the Devil. The music of Karel Plíhal. Time, though, now on Radio Prague for the first instalment of Panorama, a new weekly feature in which we delve into all things Czech, from cultural and artistic trends to social phenomena and the lighter side of Bohemian life. This week, Brian Kennedy goes in search of a Czech queen in the heartland of America.
Tens of thousands of ethnic Czechs left their homes in Bohemia, Moravia, and Silesia in the late 1800s in search of a better life in the United States. Most of these newly arrived immigrants joined tight-knit communities in rapidly industrializing American cities like New York, Chicago, St. Louis, and Cleveland, at least briefly, before heading on to the wide-open plains of the Midwest to work their own patch of land, or down the Mississippi River and onto the big open skies of Texas.
Good afternoon, it's Polka Tam again, and your host is Frank Procházka. Dobrý odpoledne, a teď budeme zase hrát českou hudbu.
Traces of these earliest Czech-American urban centers are still alive today, in street names recalling Czech patriots and historic towns, Sokol, community centers, churches, and the like.
A první písničku, kterou teď budeme hrát, už je to dávno, a je to Polka.
But it's in America's heartland, especially in rural communities in states like Nebraska and Texas, where these Czech traditions are perhaps best preserved and most widely celebrated. The home to the mother of all Czech-American celebrations, the epicenter of it all, at least for one day every August for the last 40-odd years, is the town of Wilbur, Nebraska. Population, 1,789 at last count, with 40% of its residents boasting Czech heritage.
Vítáme vás. My name is Amanda Bestum. I am the Wilbur Czech Queen, and welcome to Wilbur.
Hi, I'm Jana Wassum. I'm the South Central Czech Queen from Aurora, Nebraska.
Evidence of the Czech migration from the old Austro-Hungarian Empire over the last couple of centuries lives on in the names of these rural towns. Nebraska is home not only to the town of Prague, but also to Praha, Pilsen, and Tabor. And, since the early 1960s, the little town of Wilbur has been the official Czech capital not only of Nebraska, but of the entire United States. As such, it is home each year to the Miss Czech Slovak USA pageant.
Dobrý den, everyone. I'm Suzanne Burris. I'm the Miss Ohio Czech Slovak Queen.
My name's Amanda Gottischek. I'm from West Texas.
The first Wilbur Czech Festival was held in 1962. It's been going strong ever since, and now draws between 30,000 to 50,000 visitors each year.
Vítáme vás to Wilbur, Nebraska. Já jsem Kadličku Charlie. I'm president of the Nebraska Czech Festival.
This is John Fiala, and I'm the chairman of the Miss Czech Slovak USA pageant, which we hold here in Wilbur, Nebraska, the Czech capital of Nebraska and of the USA. And our first pageant was held in 1987. At which time we only had 4 contestants. But since that time, we have had as high as 23 contestants, all the way from Pennsylvania to California, from Minnesota and Wisconsin down to Florida and Alabama.
Lise Anderson, and I'm representing the state of Minnesota. We have a Kolache Days Festival, which is the third weekend in July every year.
Monica Schultz, and I am from the great state of California.
I am Teresa Casper, the Miss Kansas Czech Queen.
Hi, I'm Jamie Kessler. I'm the Oklahoma Czech Queen.
Svoboda Yazdegerdy, and I am representing Florida. I am Miss Florida.
Hi, my name is Hannah Yazdegerdy, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia. Thank you.
I'm Rebecca Fedor from Fairhope, Alabama.
Teresa Mahoney, and I've come all the way from Portland, Oregon to be part of the Miss Czech Slovak USA pageant.
Come the first weekend in August to hear traditional polka bands, watch the Beseda folk dancers, eat homemade jaternice sausages and those ubiquitous Czech pastries, the koláč.
Já jsem byla narozená v Bison, Kansas. Já už peču rohlíky nějakých 80 let.
Honza Honer pro Czech American TV. No, bramborové placky?
No, I don't do them. But I want to tell you about koláče. The poppy seed is the one that the Czechs always look for. You know, and the English people think it's opium in it, so they pass them up. But the Czechs always got to have a poppy seed.
And, of course, like at similar events throughout the country, perhaps to drink a bit of Czech beer.
It's a great show. The beer is very cold, and the kolaches are awesome.
We are both going to be at the Czech Festival for the whole day, just about. This is the Czech Queen pageant at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and the winner goes to Wilbur, Nebraska.
The main event is, without question, the coronation of a new Miss Czech Slovak Queen USA.
New Miss Czech Slovak USA 2004-2005 is South Dakota Erin.
Actually, when I was 5, I started Czech dancing in Wilbur. We have the little Beseda dancers. And when I was 5, I became a Beseda dancer. And I don't honestly remember why. It just looked like fun.
Natasha Florian is a Wilbur native, the reigning Nebraska State Czech Slovak Queen, and a hopeful for the 2005 national title. In speaking with her, it seems almost as if she's been training for that top spot all her life.
When I was 8, I wanted to be the Wilbur Czech Princess. Well, I tried out for Wilbur Czech Princess and didn't get it. And so I was able to be a little sister, which is state queens that come to compete for the national title in Wilbur each get a little girl, a support, just kind of support them and help hold their hand and be there for them as they compete. And so I was a little sister to the Michigan Queen when I was 8. And that was basically when I got interested in becoming Czech Queen and getting involved in my Czech heritage.
Natasha achieved her goal of becoming a Wilbur Czech Princess at the age of 11 Last year, at the age of 16, she became a Wilbur Czech Queen, and in short order went on to become a York Czech Queen as well, competing from her grandparents' district. She then got up the courage to compete in the state pageant, despite the fact that most past winners have been 18 or older.
And I won the title, so now I'm the Nebraska Czech Queen, the current Nebraska Czech Queen. And then in August, I'll be competing for the national title with all the other states.
The first permanent Czech settler on record in Nebraska is Charles Čulík, who arrived in 1856. In all, some 50,000 Czechs settled in the Midwest farming state over the following century. Most hailed from Bohemia, as did Natasha's great-great-grandparents, who came from Pilsen. Contestants in the national contest are expected to design and sew their own kroj, the traditional Czech folk costumes authentic to the region of the girl's ancestry. They also have to perform a talent. Natasha is well prepared. She has been a Beseda dancer for 12 years and has had 5 years of clogging lessons and 3 weeks of formal accordion lessons.
Do you have your accordion nearby?
Yeah.
Any chance you could play a little bit for us?
I can try, yeah. My mom has taught all of us kids how to bake kolaches, and so I know how to bake kolaches and just a few little traditions like that that we try to keep in the family. So I wanted to add another one with playing the accordion.
Okay, what are you going to play now?
I can play Apples, Peaches, Pumpkin Pie.
Okay, sounds
That'd
good.
That'd probably be the easiest one. Okay. Can you hear that? Okay.
Yes, the very first panorama was presented by Brian Kennedy, and we're just about out of time here on Radio Prague. Please do write to us, English@radio.cz. From me, Peter Smith. Bye-bye.